Hello everyone, this is Mike Quincy connecting the light. Today is a first for me because I have two guests rather than one. I have Sheila and Marcus Gillette. Sheila is an author and a very well-known psychic medium. And together with Marcus, who joined her in 1997, they have co-authored a book called The Soul Truth, which is described as a guide to inner peace, and it's related to conversations with Theo. So, can I just check that my guests are with me? Sheila, are you there?
I am here. Thank you, Mike.
Are you there, Marcus?
I'm right here, Mike. Thank you. Yes.
Oh, dear. We've got something's gone wrong.
Mike, can you hear me okay?
I can, yes. Can't you hear me? I've just
made... Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Oh, you can. Okay, something went a little bit amiss there then, because I introduced you and the... I think we've actually started, so after that little tiny mix-up. Is Sheila there, okay?
I am here. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you very fine. I trust you can hear me. So we've got a three-way link that seems to be working now. So I've got plenty of questions to ask you, and I'm sure it's going to be a very interesting and intriguing talk with both of you. But can I ask Sheila first to explain who or what Theo is? And perhaps at the same time, she might tell us the extraordinary way in which all this started for her.
I'd be most happy to. Theo is a group of 12 archangels collectively known by the name of Theo, who are here to help us with this evolution of consciousness that's quite profound on the planet today. And as we know, there are so many people experiencing the extraordinary, and they're here to guide us and help us in that process, because their intention is for all of us to be connected to Source and having our own guidance directly to ourselves. So they're here to help facilitate that. And this began with me in 1969 after a near-death experience. I had a miraculous healing by Jesus in the intensive care room. And 6 months after I got out of the hospital, I was having all kinds of psychic phenomena happening to me inwardly and outwardly. And I transpontaneously and became a direct voice for the archangels.
Right. I find, looking up my notes here, that Theo apparently addresses quite a range of different subjects which are all related to people's awakening and understanding. So could I ask you the type of answers he might give you, for example, describing what karma is?
I'm sorry, Mike, I did not hear the last word. Describing...
Karma.
Karma.
Karma. Yes.
Karma? What Theo speaks about karma, that it's not a form of debt, as many people perceive it to be, that they've done something wrong, they have to come back and atone for. But karma is opportunities, circumstances, situations that we grow from. And that when we become enlightened to those circumstances, we change our perspective and we react differently to the same stimulus, meaning that we will react in a more positive, loving way to certain situations.
And you know, Mike, I would add to that that the process that Theo teaches is called soul integration, and in this process of returning to wholeness, integrating the fragmented aspects of our soul, we then are able to, I'll use the word transmute, or I would say transmute the karma, perhaps is a good way of putting it, because we are then not guided by the triggers, the emotional triggers, that ultimately create karmic-type experiences through our actions. So it's a whole process that moves us into the wholeness of our being and then the, like Sheila said, the opportunities for growth become, well, become less and less as we become more integrated in a way. If that makes any sense.
Right. Now, Marcus, what I would ask you relating to that is, it would seem to some people that karma is hard work, and it's often, quite obviously, putting right mistakes or errors that we've made. But is there such a thing as good karma?
Well, I think that there are no errors or mistakes.
No.
And that it, Theo, makes very, very clear. And karma is neither, in Theo's teachings, Mike, good or bad. Energy is energy. Opportunities for growth are opportunities for growth. And I think that it is the natural laws of governing how we think and act and ultimately manifest in our lives are what they are. So they never speak in good or bad, better than or worse than. They speak in energy in terms of energy. It's constant, only form changes. The universe does not discern between a good or a bad thought, good or bad energy, negative or positive energy, at all. That it's all energy, and that there's no discernment in terms of how it ends up manifesting in our lives. And they tell us today, be very careful what you're focusing your attention and your energy on and thinking about, because it's very likely to become manifest in your life.
Yeah, you're obviously talking about the law of attraction.
We are talking about the law of magnetic attraction, and we are also talking about, at the same time, what many people consider to be perhaps even a component of that whole process for some that is being embraced to assist in manifesting at an even quicker pace the process that we discussed earlier of soul integration that Theo is teaching.
Right. Now,
that's about self-love and receptivity, Mike.
No, right. I believe soul integration forms a very big part in your book. Can you enlarge upon exactly what that means to someone? What happens to them?
Say again, Mike?
Yeah, soul integration is a very big part of your book, I believe, in your teachings. If someone was reading that for the first time, what would they understand by soul integration?
Well, what they would experience is very similar to the psychological model of the inner child work, only it's expanded into the fragmented aspects of the soul. As you engage in the emotional body, which these fragmented aspects control, actually, they would call up or call forward when they're having an emotional reaction or they're feeling out of balance. They can go inside and call forth the little orphan, as Theo talks about, that is acting out, that is having that emotional response. And the adult self of the individual can parent this little orphan and bring it home. Let it know that it's loved, accepted, and that you're taking it into your new life. And Marcus, I know you have more information about that as well.
Well, I think the thing about the process, Mike, is that what a lot of people make the mistake of doing is limiting themselves in the inner child work to this lifetime and this lifetime only. What starts to happen as the mystical begins to unfold in our lives and we begin to have experiences beyond the five sensory three-dimensional reality that a lot of people limit themselves to, is that we start to have experiences of a multidimensional nature. And Theo has been teaching for the last 30 years of the fifth dimension, the fifth dimension being an awareness now and an experience of the multidimensional, the multidimensionality of who we really are, of our soul. And in this current incarnation, the soul has some very specific learnings and opportunities that have been created for the integration of the fragmented aspects that may in fact not have been fragmented in this current lifetime. That in fact may have occurred in prior times whereby the soul was fragmented for the sake of survival. It could have been a trauma. It typically is at a young age. And as we go into meditation and become very intentful, and by the way, I would just add that on our website, asktheo.com, is an entire meditation on this process that we're describing right now. And as you know, it's also in our new book, The Soul Truth, a chapter on this. And it is very interesting when people begin to awaken to these experiences that have no reference to this lifetime, where they are going into previous incarnations where the fragmentation occurred. There is a reunion. There is a welcoming home that takes place that fills the heart up in a way that we have previously never experienced. And like Sheila said, what ends up happening is that on this authentic path to enlightenment, the heart becomes extremely full and also at the same time, paradoxically, very, very light as well. And it's also an experience that is necessary to repeat and to return to, because what will happen is what Theo describes them as the little orphans will continue until fully integrated to control the emotional patternings and the emotional responses in our lives, which create discomfort, disease, unhappiness, fear, doubt, all those things. So anytime we're fearful of something, anytime that we're uncomfortable about something, the invitation is to go into meditation and to meet that aspect of ourself. And there will be a gender, there will be an age, there will be an experience that may be auditory, it may be sentient, it may be, you know, come in a variety of different receptive ways that we are ways in which we're most receptive to receiving information. But it's fascinating, Mike. Once you get started with the process, there's absolutely no turning back.
I'm sure so. I've done different meditations myself. What is it in the one that Theo gives you for this particular purpose that enables you to pinpoint what your problems are? How do you arrive at that?
Well, what happens, Mike, we all have certain patterns in our lives that keep repeating themselves. For an example, we all have had patterns of relationship issues where we keep choosing the same kind of personality that we're not compatible with. But there's a fragmented part of ourselves that controls that pattern from another time of beliefs of not being good enough or lovable enough. And so that repetitive pattern continues to occur until we have that conversation on the inner plane with that little orphan, letting it know that it's loved and worthy of love. And then we start attracting to us loving relationships. So that's an example of things that can happen. We notice these things, or we draw into our experience, whether it be in the workplace or with friendships, just dissension and upheaval. It's those little orphans that are bringing that forth, and once we bring them home into that awareness that we can have love in our lives, in all relationships, then that's when it changes. But we have to have that revelation of what the core issue is. Where did it first begin? And that's what soul integration does for us. We get down to where the core is, where that pattern in our soul's path first began. And with that revelation and awareness, it's an aha moment, far beyond any aha moment you could ever have, believe me, that we go, now I know why this has been happening, and that's when the change begins to occur.
Yeah, and I will also add to that, Mike, that, right on everything, exactly, Sheila, and the meditations themselves that, that Theo guides the listener through are extremely unique in two ways, Mike. Number one is the neuro-linguistic effect of Theo's words. They are just magical in how they take people into a place within themselves in these inner dimensions. The inner technology becomes alive and able to be worked with. And in doing and in sharing the words and the place that they take us, there is also a vibrational effect that their frequency as they speak through Sheila has on the listener that allows them to, what Theo describes as being arced up vibrationally, making them more receptive, quite frankly, to the interdimensional experiences that Theo's leading them into.
Yeah. I believe you're actually saying that the energy that follows Theo's word is of a higher vibration.
Yes, sir.
That's correct.
That's correct, yeah.
So people feel that. And then perhaps I should tell our listeners here that when you have your workshops, I hope this is correct, the form of it is questions and answers.
Everything is question activated in our events and on our radio show. But are you talking about the meditations, Mike?
I was thinking about your workshops where you probably have a one-to-one with the people there.
Oh, yeah.
But the whole process, I believe, is based on questions and answers from the individuals.
It is. That's a large part of the event. And we segregate, actually, the questioning into two different types of sessions that we do. One is questions of a universal, spiritual, global, planetary nature, perhaps questions that will provide people an opportunity to get answers to spiritual inquiries and mysteries that they'd like to have answers to, or just what's happening on our planet today politically, economically. Those questions are written out on 3x5 cards, in which I moderate as Sheila goes into trance and Theo comes through, and then we will have a session or two dedicated to that line of questioning, which of course comes from the audience. And then we'll also have a session or two, depending on the group and how much time we have. Sometimes we do one session of the universal stuff, and then we do a couple of sessions of the personal questionings, where people have an opportunity to have a personal dialogue with Theo, ask a question that is most important to them in their lives right now. Some of them become, you know, kind of universal and spiritual. Most of them are very personal. And what we find that in the personal questioning of one person comes an answer and a teaching for everybody.
Yes.
And it's remarkable how that always seems to be the case. So that as people ask personal questions, you know, some people would say, well, that's just their personal question, doesn't apply to me. Well, it most certainly almost always does apply to everybody, because we're all doing this human thing. We all have the same dreams and goals and fears as the next guy, you know.
Right, yes. Now, it's obviously a long way to reach a perfect state of balance, but you refer to that as we being the masters we already are. So are you saying that when we reach that state, we know we're masters?
Sheila? That's an interesting question.
I apologize, I couldn't hear the complete question.
Let me answer the question. The question was about mastery, and when we reach that state, are we aware? And I think the answer to that question is we do have, even though there's almost a non-personal observance of it, there is also an awareness and a living into it that Theo teaches, without ego or without self-centeredness, but more of a centered in selfness. And the key piece to this mastery that they teach us, because they say it's not any coincidence, Mike, that we're living 2,000 years later and that the miracles are occurring on our planet, and there's many people experiencing miracles, and there's many people that are experiencing masterful experiences, and they don't just take on, you know, necessarily the mystical or the metaphysical form all the time. In fact, it's very interesting, some of the miracles and the experiences of mastery that we can have by just listening to, you know, that inner voice or that guidance that we all have, and having these synchronicity or synchronistic types of experiences and all the fun things that begin to occur. But I would say yes, I think there's a self-awareness to a degree when we begin to achieve those states and our personal experience becomes such that our lives are forever touched, forever touched.
Well, also, I think people, you know, everybody said, you say to them, what do you want? And a lot of people just say, well, I want world peace. I want to be happy, you know? And that's a pretty generic thing to say. But most of us would say we want to be happy. And what we're really saying is, I just want to be peaceful in my own skin. I want to feel comfortable in my body. I want to feel comfortable in my psyche. I want to feel comfortable and not agitated. And that's where the peace comes forward, the feeling centered and mastered on the inner, because you begin to realize that, oh gosh, I'm feeling good all the time. I'm not thrown off by situations and circumstances in which life will always give us. We're responding from a very different point of view to our life. And then we come into this place of a constant peace within. And it's not that we're not challenged externally. That will always happen with different things that occur. But it's how we meet those challenges and how we respond in our life that will have changed.
Yeah, and I think also I would add to that, Mike, that in the present momentness, in the absolute now moment that masters reside in, there really isn't the thought of, oh, I'm residing in mastery now. For Theo says that to acknowledge being in the present moment is to actually have lost that moment. So it's an interesting question that you ask about the awareness of it, but I would say that in that present moment, just to amend my answer earlier, in that present moment, there is no thought of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yes, I think I can understand. Now, you say that we have to be at a certain vibrational level to experience what you call the miraculous. Would something like self-healing be in that particular described as miraculous? Is that the sort of thing that would happen?
Soul healing?
Self-healing. The healing of soul.
Self-healing?
Yes.
Self-healing, yeah.
Yes.
Yes, definitely.
So as you raise your vibration, so it becomes perhaps easier to do those sort of things.
Correct. And how you do that is through meditation and with intention. Because once you have the intention of opening to this integrative process, you really don't go backwards. It's a movement forward, and you can see the progression as you move along. It's not always comfortable, for sure, because it brings up emotions. And Theo talks about the earth plane being the learning of emotions. We learn emotions here. And so to try to set those aside and not experience them and shove them down is a disservice. That's where the imbalances come from, physically and emotionally and psychologically. We're here to experience that emotion, to bless it and to realize where it's coming from, not to repress it, because it'll just bubble to the surface anyway.
Right. Now, Sheila, sometimes people would say, I cannot help being what I am, and they seem to excuse themselves from doing anything about it. How do you approach that type of person?
Well, you know what? That type of person usually doesn't cross my path. Because most people I talk with are on the path, and they're asking. You know, in the asking, it is given. So if I, by chance, in conversation, run across someone like that, not from the point of view of somebody coming to me, but just we cross paths at, you know, a marketplace or somewhere, and they make the comment that, you know, I'll never change. There are people that say that, and they've already ingrained, in, ingrain themselves that I'm going to be as I am and nothing will change. Well, you know, then it won't, because they've made that a manifestation or a manifesto in their own life that this is the way I'm going to be and I'm not going to do anything about it. You know, I'm only here to share the information of Theo, to share the insights, to share the possibilities. And what other people do with it, it's really none of my business. They have the opportunity to embrace it or not. But that's their own experience, and what they're doing is their own experience. I can only be there to share when they're at, when I'm asked.
And now, there is also the likelihood now, Mike, that with the frequencies being what they are today on the planet, you know, it's a two-sided coin. And for those that are embracing and shifting their thinking and taking personal responsibility and are open and receptive to growth and personal experience and awareness and consciousness, it's going to be a beautiful ride, not without some bumps along the way, but certainly an incredible ride. On the other side of that coin is going to be some discomfort for people that, like Sheila said, establish a manifesto for themselves where they're not going to embrace the opportunities for growth. They're going to stay stuck in the old ways of being and thinking. And it may be very uncomfortable physically for many people who stay in that old way.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that, because I get quite a few emails from people who are aware that the frequencies are changing, and they report feeling dizzy or things like that. They actually feel unwell. So I do accept that it's definitely affecting people.
Well, Sheila, you can certainly speak to that, can't you?
I'm sorry, repeat the question.
Yeah, the question is about people reacting to the energy and feeling dizzy and so forth.
Oh,
and
definitely.
We experience
this
all the time in our live events.
Yeah, at our live events, and even sometimes even we'll have feedback from the radio program or even a private session, which I do over the phone for people all over the world, and they'll feel an energy as well. So Theo does work on our energetic levels and our frequencies as well as give us words.
Right.
The bottom line, Mike, is that everybody on the planet is affected by the energy, and a lot of people are feeling it in their bodies in a way that is uncomfortable, and that's what's so cool about, you know, doing this work. The inner work is that we can match that frequency, we can ride that frequency, we can integrate that frequency in a way that makes us feel very, very comfortable in our physical body, not uncomfortable, not painful.
And Mike, I would like to go back to your question about the people that are saying, no, I don't want to do the work, I'm fine where I'm at, you know, I don't have to do anything. With those kinds of people, sometimes they're getting more out of starring in their own movie, in their own story, than they are about changing. Even if it's uncomfortable, they're starring in the movie of victimization or ill health or whatever might be, and they just go, no, I can't change it. This is the way it is. So, you know, that's a choice as well.
Right. Now, the changes that are happening on the Earth seem to be causing a lot of fear amongst some people. How would Theo recommend people to deal with inner fear?
Well, you know, this planet always has changes that are natural to it. And what's happening is that we're becoming more aware of being more protective of what we're doing to the Earth, which is excellent. But the other thing is just because we're becoming more aware of the Earth through our global communication, we can know what's happening in another part of the world immediately with television and the Internet, that we never had that before. So we're hearing about things, cyclones happening and earthquakes happening, where in the past, when we didn't have this global communication, we never knew. And so it seems like more things are happening, but I think we because we're more aware now and we have this communication happening, we know that they're happening in different parts of the world that we may never have ever known about in the past, that it even existed.
Absolutely. But, I mean, what do people do about their fear, though?
It's a consciousness shift. People can intend to do something in their life to make the planet better and be better stewards of our planet. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're being, that's what everybody's talking about. We need to take that to heart and do our part. Be responsible for our part on this planet and be a good steward of it.
Absolutely, yes. Now, there's a very important issue here, which I know Theo has possibly a lot to say about, and that is 2012. I'm surprised at how many people raise this issue of what is going to happen at 2012, because they have heard about the Mayan prophecies for the end of the cycle. What would you say to that?
You know, Theo started talking about 2012 about 40 years ago.
Really?
In my first book, The Fifth Dimension, before the Mayan calendar book was out and so forth, they were talking about the major changes that will come in 2012. It's a consciousness shift that has been happening for, you know, for half a century. And now it's culminating because we have the global communication. We have the ability to see that we are in need of, and it's happening, of a global economic structure, a global political structure, that we are a global common unity, a community of human beings on this planet, and that we're going to come together. So it's a very exciting time. In 2000, December 22nd of 2012 will come, and 2013 will come, but what will have changed is how we work with each other. The global communication brings about an understanding of our connectedness and our celebration of life. We all are here. We're all of the same species, and we all have the same needs and desires, and we can love each other as it is.
And I would add to that, too, Mike, that this dramatic shift that people are expecting in the year 2012 or December 21st, 2012, is in fact happening in every moment right now. It's all happening. It's all happening right now. And the fact that people are collectively thinking about this consciousness shift, whether it's happening right now, which it is, or whether something dramatic was to occur in a moment at that time, has the collective thought in forming and having an impact as a community going forward. And nothing's going to change from December 21st to December 22nd except for what's already occurring within us right now. And that the significance of it from a time standpoint is that, and this is very consistent with what Theo's been saying for decades, is that they're essentially we're moving into a time of no time anyway. People are recognizing the truth of no time, no space. So it's inviting us to make a choice in how we want to live our lives. It's inviting us to recognize the importance of every choice that we make and every thought that we have and the integration of those thoughts with our feelings and our emotions. And this is it is a very profound time in history, in that this Mayan calendar, or the end of the Mayan calendar, or time as we or they prophesied it, is in fact a beautiful metaphor for what every one of us are experiencing in our lives in every moment right now.
Yes. What does Theo say would be the consequence of not going through the shift? I mean, what will happen to the people that have chosen not to do it?
They'll leave. At some point, they'll leave the planet.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing, as we're observing, there are a lot of people leaving right now. As you know, we've seen a lot of famous celebrities in a 2-week period leave here in the United States. We've also had two major airplanes go down in oceans. You know, there's just these windows of opportunity. If the frequencies are too intense, that souls will choose to leave. And that's not good or bad. It just is what is.
Yes. Are you saying that those that are not going through to the shift then will have left by the time that takes place?
I think if we're still here, we've chosen to be here.
Right.
And we're going to experience it how we experience it, but I think the frequencies are high enough that individuals, everybody, will be experiencing miraculous energies. And, you know, things that we used to say, oh, that's just a coincidence, we'll begin to realize that we're creating miracles moment to moment ourselves, whatever that might be. Because as Jesus, Master Jesus taught, and one of his greatest teachings was, everything I can do, you can do and more. And that's this time he was talking about, when human beings were at a frequency high enough to realize the masters that they are. Because we all have that potential and that capability if we accept it.
Yes. Now, you mentioned political change in connection with 2012. Has Theo indicated how those changes will take place? For example, a lot of people, including myself, believe that Barack Obama is a very different type of president to the ones we've had before, and he will take us on a better path. Has Theo given you any ideas about that?
Well, absolutely. And in fact, Theo's been very clear that he is a global personality. Here at the perfect time for this change and this shift that we're going through. And not to negate the importance of the last 8 years before him, Mike, because that essentially, those 8 years put an end to apathy as we knew it in our country.
Absolutely.
A lot of people stepped up. Beg your pardon?
Yes.
I'm sorry?
No, I agree with you, absolutely. Yes,
yeah.
You're right.
And now a global community, because Barack is a global being and with a global perspective, a global community is forming. And what Theo talks about is the artists and the scientists, the people now, you know, having a voice and being able to form in a way, you know, a global way, where there will actually be a functional version of the United Nations, something that can actually get things done, whereby people will come together, new leadership will emerge, and we think that Barack, and Theo is very clear, that Barack is here right now in the perfect time to, you know, economically, politically guide the United States, and I think many parts of the world, with a very high level of leadership. We're also personally very excited.
Oh, yes.
Also that he's a communicator. And what's going to bring about this change and this coming together, if you would, of this global community is communication. And he's bringing that forth. We're already witnessing that he's bringing forth the communication amongst leaders. And some of the leaders throughout the world will be changing just as Barack Obama became the president of the United States. There are other globalists in other countries that will step forward in positions of authority. And this is how it will come about.
Right.
And it's a very exciting time to be alive, I believe.
Oh, I absolutely agree with that. Now, there's something you mention in your book that Theo has told you about. What is the meaning of soulmates?
Soulmates, a lot, as Theo says, many people romanticize soulmate. A soulmate is a soul family member. And it's not necessarily just one person. It can be many people can be soulmates. They're on the same soul frequency. They can be a romantic partner or not. They could be a child. They could be a cousin. They could be a mother or a father. It could be anyone that you respond to in like kind, in the sense that you're on the same frequency and you have this connectivity. And so it, Theo often says, do not romanticize it, because sometimes a soulmate can be our best teacher in the sense of creating a lot of agitation. So I think we have this idea of this romantic soulmate, but Theo speaks of them as soul family, and what they mean by that being the same soul age, that you've been together before many times in differing roles, and that you've come here to support each other's growth. Now, there's another terminology of a twin flame, which is the balance of the masculine and the feminine, and that doesn't happen as often. Soulmates do incarnate together. Twin flames are not always incarnate at the same time, but they do influence each other no matter what dimension they're in.
And when they do incarnate together, there is a very highly charged intuitive exchange that takes place, not unlike a lot of twins discuss.
Yes.
You know, the psychic abilities that they have with one another, and twin flames seem to have that same level of psychic experience together, Mike. It's really fascinating, some of the experiences that Sheila and I have had together, remote experiences where we've been, you know, thousands of miles apart, and yet have had the experiences of that we could only know if we were together physically.
Yes,
and
yes.
That's kind of fun. You know, that's a new paradigm in relationships. In fact, we're talking about relationships in our show coming up this Tuesday morning on Ask Theo Live. The topic is relationships, and this will come up. This will be a very a common topic that people will bring up, the question that you're asking right now.
Right. Do you think with the increase in frequencies that people also will become more telepathic?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Right.
Yep. I mean, I think all things psychic are going to be enhanced. All aspects of our psychic abilities are going to be enhanced and expanded, which is part of what these frequencies really are all about and bring with them.
Yes.
Well, also, Mike, as I was saying earlier in our conversation, that people are the reason that metaphysics, the law of attraction, all of these spirituality, all of these things have become so to the forefront, if you would, books being sold by the millions and people seeking out, is because they are experiencing their own metaphysical or their multidimensional experiences, and they want to be affirmed and confirmed that they are experiencing them and what that means.
Yes. Okay, that's fine. Now, we haven't reached the end of the program quite, but is there any aspect of Theo's teachings that we haven't touched upon that you would like to mention?
Well, you know, the teachings are all about integrating and loving the self. Mm. Truly, that's the main core of the teachings. And coming into that wholeness within ourselves and recognizing the masters that we are.
People don't find that easy, do they? It's not an easy thing to do.
I think there's also, we just got an email today, which I'll share with you real quickly, too. Theo is remarkably down-to-earth and crystal clear in their teachings on the human experience. They say they learn emotions through us, but they're such masters in teaching emotional mastery. And I'll share with just one chapter that we haven't touched on, that an email just came in my inbox just a couple minutes ago regarding children and parenting. Theo speaks very clearly to the concept of becoming whole and conscious and healed as a parent. and the children will be great so long as we take responsibility for our own emotional growth and don't expect to be living through our children's experiences or living through their accomplishments or living, you know, through who they become, but rather patterning for them, the critical importance of patterning for them the wholeness of being within ourselves, and then assisting them in opening up, you know, and awakening spiritually. When we get into things like relationships, the new patternings, the new paradigm for relationships, incredible teachings from an angelic perspective on the human experience, it never ceases to amaze me how many aha moments people have in our live gatherings around the topic of relationships, around the topic of why is it that I am triggered emotionally the way I am by this person? And it's an unfoldment that becomes very life-changing when we recognize the patternings.
Yes. What does Theo have to say about the ego, which seems to be a problem for a lot of people?
I'm sorry, say that again, Mike?
Yeah. What does Theo have to say about the ego? Because it seems to be a problem for some people.
Sheila?
Yeah, they're gone.
I'm sorry, I'm in a place where I don't get everything. Heard a problem for some people. What was the key word there?
Ego.
Oh, ego.
Ego, yes. Well, what Theo's talked about is that we have to have an ego to be on this planet. So many people think, oh, I've got to kill my ego. Well, what does that mean, really? You know, do we know? And what it is the ego is our intellectual response and the facade that we wear in our outside world that is the protection that we have. But when we do become integrated, when we embrace those opportunities to bring those little orphans home, that ego of protection seems to dissolve or be less necessary because we feel so comfortable in our skin and accepting of ourselves that we don't have to project that out in a protective manner.
Yeah.
They also speak about that as being what's happening now, Mike, is we're moving from the head or the ego into our heart or into our soul, and there's a merging. You know, there's a merging of the two. They even talk about the fact that our throat chakra and our heart chakra are becoming one. It's difficult not to speak your truth anymore, and when you don't speak truth, it tends to come up to the surface fairly quickly. So they're moving us into a way of perceiving down through the, instead of making all the decisions with our intellect or our ego, moving into the heart and the feeling and the soul-centered place now, as opposed to being in that intellectual place.
Yes, right. Now, Sheila and Marcus, we are coming into the last few minutes of the program, and I need the last one to announce next week's guest. Can you tell our listeners how to obtain copies of your book?
Absolutely, Mike. We can, anybody's welcome. Everybody's welcome to go to www.asktheo.com. There's a link to Amazon right there. You also are welcome at our website. There's a direct link into our radio show, Ask Theo Live, where your listeners can actually call in and have a personal dialogue with Theo, which is at 8 o'clock Pacific Standard Time on Tuesday mornings, 8 a.m. on Tuesday mornings. That's West Coast time here at the Pacific Standard Time. And the rest of the website is a very interactive website, a lot of complimentary downloads of audio programs and meditations. There's also several meditations and audio programs for a nominal fee to purchase on our website and to download as well.
We would definitely invite your listeners and you as well, Mike, to participate in our radio show because it is interactive. You can email questions in or call a toll-free number. So please check that out. We'd love to hear from your listeners and answer your Theo to answer your questions as well on air.
And there's also information about our live events. Most current one will be in Chesapeake, Virginia next Sunday, the 19th of July. We will also be in San Juan Capistrano in the middle of August, San Juan Capistrano, California, and St. Louis, Missouri, coming up in October. And there'll be several more events that will be posted on the website in the next several days as well.
Right. I'm pleased to hear the time of your program, because for us people in the UK, we're 8 hours ahead of you, so it very conveniently means it would be 4 p.m. in the afternoon. So I'll definitely tune into one of your shows to listen to what you've got to say, because they certainly sound very interesting.
Yeah. It was wonderful.
Have you got any final message? Sorry? I was asking, have you got any final message that you would like to give our listeners?
Yes. Just what I would like to say to your listeners is just embrace all the possibilities and enjoy your multidimensionality, because once you do, it's an exciting life to live.
Touché.
And that's fine.
Yeah, we appreciate the opportunity to be on your show, Mike.
Well, you were very welcome, and it's been extremely interesting. I've had a few more questions penciled in, but it's been a terrifically interesting conversation, very unusual. I didn't tell our listeners, but I will in closing the program, that I believe Sheila is actually taken over by Theo, this energy of the group, yes? The energy of the group speaks through Sheila rather than a telepathic contact.
That's correct. They speak directly through me to the individuals or groups as we do them.
And we should also add, Mike, that your listeners, through our website, they can click on Experience Theo, and also through the telephone have their own personal session or reading with Sheila. She is still doing private readings as well, and they're welcome to go onto our website and click on Experience Theo, and it'll take them into the private reading section, which they're welcome to do as well.
That's very interesting. Do you invite people to send anything by email?
In our show, yes.
Yes, we do, and it's radio@asktheo.com. radio@asktheo.com, and we do have people email questions, as well as taking questions, of course, live from the callers as well.
Okay, that's very interesting. Well, thank you both for an extremely interesting program. I'm very pleased to have had you on the program, so thanks again. It's been very,
thank
very
you,
good.
Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. It's been our pleasure.
You're welcome. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Right, my friends, that was, I thought, a very, very interesting program. They certainly certainly know their business about Theo. And I want to say that next week I have a guest called Jennifer Yost. She is wanting to promote a new spiritual live program that she's producing called The One Gathering. And it starts on the 30th of August this year, and it's about the human experience of living in duality and oneness simultaneously. So again, I think that sounds interesting, so I hope you can join me next week, and thank you very much for being with me today. God bless you all.